like to read you the script of a TV commercial I've made to alert viewers nationwide to the menace of climate change.
That's John Bell, the artistic director of Australia's Bell Shakespeare. And he was one of many who spoke at the Smart Energy Conference and Exhibition on May 9, 2022. And that was just before the May 21 federal election in Australia. Welcome. It's so great to have you on board. This is the latest episode of Climate Conversations, and I'm your host, Robert McLean. This podcast is assembled here in Shepparton, Northern Victoria, Australia, on the lands of the Yorta Yorta people, and I pay my respects to elders, past, present and emerging. What follows today are short pieces from the presentations given by several people at the conference, and some of the speakers were at the time only candidates, but since have been elected to federal parliament. The links to the presentations will be in the show notes. First we'll go to John Bell, and then coming up will be the Chief Executive of the Smart Energy Council, John Grimes. The then Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy, Chris Bowen, who following the May 21 election is now the Minister for Climate Change and Energy. We then have the Founder and Chief Scientist for Other Lab, the Independent Member for Warringai, Zali Steagall, the then Independent Senate Candidate for the Australian Capital Territory, David Pocock. David has since been elected to the Senate. A Liberal Member for the Legislative Assembly for the North Shore, Felicity Wilson. And then the Independent Candidate for Wentworth, Allegra Spender, who has since been elected. Let's begin, however, with John Bell.
I am planet Earth. I am the oceans you swim in, the land you live on, the mountains you climb. I am the soil you till, the rain you gather, the air you breathe. I am changing right now. My poles drip sweat, my seas rising, my waves attacking the shore. My fires, once cooling, now burn. My pastures of plenty are parched. My storms are stronger. My floods are ever deeper and more frequent. My corals scream through bleach. My forests are falling. I am changing very quickly, right now. For 70,000 years, we managed together quite well. For 70 years, temperatures have kept rising. I am planet Earth. I have changed. The die is almost cast. Doomsday's clock is only 100 precious seconds to midnight. My species grows smaller, my breath grows shorter, my gait is crabbed, my old hands shake, my blanket is heavier. I am the berries you eat, the grasslands you walk, the wind in your hair. I am the koalas you cuddle, the places you love, the bushwalks you cherish. I am planet Earth, and I do not have a vote, but you do. Please think about the climate and planet Earth when you cast yours. Thank you.
Now we turn to the Smart Energy Council's Chief Executive, John Grimes.
Welcome everybody to the conference this year. I'd also like to start by paying my respects to the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, and particularly welcome any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who might be with us here today. Well, we've actually been in this business for 60 years. So this is actually our 60th annual conference. Quite extraordinary. The legacy and leadership that Australia has played on a global stage when it comes to the smart energy industry is absolutely enormous. We have punched well above our weight. It was scientists coming out of the CSIRO working with solar hot water technology in the 1950s that was kind of the coalesced, the beginning of our organisation. And there have been so many luminaries that have actually passed through the organisation over that time. It is not an exaggeration to say that much of the solar, evacuated tube hot water technology and a whole range of other innovations were invented right here in Australia. Indeed, many of them invented right here in Sydney. This is a legacy of which we should be really enormously proud. And there is a generation or generations of politicians who should be horsewhipped for not capturing that value and propelling our country forward with it, for just letting it go to be exploited by other countries and then sold back to us as sort of the dumb poor consumers. And that's got to stop, because we have enormous innovation and capacity as a nation.
Let's listen now to Chris Bowen.
Now, friends, there are just 16 days now to the federal election, and there is much at stake for our country. There are enormous nation-changing differences between climate and energy policies of the two parties in this election, and I'll come to those. But so far, to be honest, the major differences have been within the coalition. The most intense debates have been within the government. Just 6 months ago, Scott Morrison spoke to an empty room in Glasgow about his commitment to net zero, but the commitment, of course, was empty as well. During this campaign, government members have said, and candidates have said, that the net zero target is, and I quote, flexible, has wiggle room. I always thought it was wriggle room, but apparently it's wiggle room in this case, and net zero is dead. And a sitting senator has, and I'm not making this up, said that net zero is, and I quote, a scam to deindustrialise the West. A sitting government senator has said that just in recent days.
Let's go now to Saul Griffith.
I guess you can tell the terrorist bit by the beard. So I'm here to do a little bit of storytelling today about the opportunity for Australia to rewire Australia. Today we're actually launching on our website, rewiringaustralia.org, community tools that actually model out the economic windfall that we can realise in Australian communities if we fully embrace a very aggressive climate agenda. I like to call that agenda the abundance agenda, because actually we need to get out of the 1970s efficiency mindset surrounding energy and realize that we get to zero emissions through an agenda of abundance. So
now a few words from Zali Stegall.
Well, it is really exciting to be back here. This was one of my first speeches in the 2019 campaign, and I was rather nervous and intimidated. There were lots of smarts and experts in the room, but how far we've come, but how much further we have to go. Thank you for having me. It is so good. If I could start by paying my respects to Indigenous elders past, present and emerging, and any that are with us here in the room today.
Let's hear now from David Pocock.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you for this opportunity. I'd also like to start by acknowledging the traditional custodians on the land in which we meet, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to Uncle Alan and other elders past and present. Like Dan said, I'm running for the Senate in the ACT, and woo! My background is professional sport, agriculture and conservation, so I'm not bringing a sort of career politician mindset to this, and was asked last year by a number of people in the ACT if I would run as an independent, and then went up to COP26 for a conservation project I was involved with in Zimbabwe, and it was quite something seeing firsthand just how out of touch Australia is, not just with the international community, but with our key trading partners. We clearly are facing some big challenges here, and we need people who are willing to actually take them on and turn those challenges into opportunities. So thank you for all that you're doing. You know, the cost of living crisis across the country and climate change, you know, the pretty harrowing IPCC report that came out recently, there's a lot to do.
Let's listen now to Felicity Wilson.
Thanks very much, Dan. I would say I think being a politician, the boss is all of you at the end of the day. So hopefully I'll hear some positive feedback from all of you. I did want to start today by acknowledging the traditional owners of the lands on which we meet, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And I'd like to acknowledge that it always was and always will be Aboriginal land. I want to thank you all for the invitation to speak at your conference today, and I wanted to pass on the Treasurer's thanks as well. The invitation went to Treasurer, Minister for Energy, Matt Keane, and he sent me along in his stead because he has so much respect for this organisation, the industry and sector, and the work that's being done. And I know that the Smart Energy Council is a powerful voice in public policy arena as we undertake the transformational task of tackling climate change. Now, we know the environmental case has always been clear, but we've unfortunately witnessed the long-standing forecasts of climate scientists about the prevalence of extreme weather events come true. I'm not sure about all of you out there, but I've got two very small children, a three-year-old and a one-year-old, and we were recently watching the Barack Obama National Parks special, and he referred then to a comment he made in a speech when he was president at COP21, when he said, that we are the first generation to feel the impact of climate change and the last generation that can do something about it. And that's profound to me, not just as a person involved in public policy and politics, but as a parent and as somebody who wants to see the benefits that we have in this generation flow through to future generations. So I thank you for the work that you're all doing for that.
The next speaker is Allegra Spender.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you very much for everyone to be here today, and thank you also to the Smart Energy Council. I would also like to pay my respects and start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we're meeting and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. As Dan said, I'm running for Wentworth. I'm no longer the CEO of the Australian Business Community Network because I'm running for Wentworth. And it's particularly special to me to be in the ICC today, so let me tell you why. You know, about 9 years ago, I was part of a group called Sydney Renewable Power Company, and the ICC was just being built. And we approached Lendlease to say, could we put solar on this building? Because there was not going to be any solar on the ICC. But we thought that there's an opportunity here to do something that is good for the environment, that can make money for investors, and can also unify the community around a project and get renters and apartment dwellers who can't buy solar themselves to actually invest in solar. That's how Sydney Renewable Power Company was born. And so just above our heads, across the ICC, is around 500 kilowatts of solar on the roof here. At the time, it was the largest rooftop solar in the country. I'm very glad to say that we have been far surpassed by that, but this is still the largest rooftop solar in the CBD of any Australian city. But so it's particularly special to me to be here today and tell you that story, because that is about clean energy. That is about a future-focused economy, and that is about community involvement, and that's the opportunity that we have ahead of us.
And please don't forget, you'll find a link to all those presentations in the show notes. Well, we've reached the end of this episode of Climate Conversations. Thanks so much for your company. So until we talk again, please take care, stay safe, and please be kind. For everyone you meet is fighting a great battle.